will take our morning conversation break this morning. And our guest, SIU President Randy Dunn. Dr. Dunn, thanks for coming in this morning.
Hi, Jennifer. These months come by quickly, don't they?
They sure do. And a lot of the topics remain the same. One of them I wanted to kind of update people on. Mm-hmm. We've had some changes in terms of public safety on the Carbondale campus specifically. Governor Pat Quinn was on campus last week to announce a $1.5 million investment in some lighting.
Yes.
How's campus safety going at Carbondale?
Well, campus safety is something that we continue to work on, very much dedicate ourselves to, and don't want to take our eye off the ball, so to speak, in terms of that function. One of the things that, of course, we keep reminding our students of, their families, the community, is that the first responsibility that we have as a university community is to ensure safety and security. And listeners know that we've been in a bit of a rash of incidents on campus, and let me digress for a moment if I could. One of the things that I've been trying to do before we come back to talk about what's happening here in
sure.
Carbondale, one of the things I've been trying to do along with many others is stay abreast of what's happening on some other campuses. We're in a situation right now, given federal requirements, that we must be much more aggressive on reporting, investigating. And I think there was some sense among those of us in higher education that we were going to see more reported incidents, a sense of more things happening, more notices that we're having to go out to our students and campus community about those things. And as I've looked this fall across a number of campuses, it seems to be happening. So if you look at University of Illinois, for instance, they've had some incidents in Campus Town up there that have been similar to what we've experienced. There has been Clery reporting, or these notices mm-hmm. that we send on email and by text alert. We've watched a similar situation up at Northern Illinois. Illinois State has gone through some things of this nature. And then, interestingly enough, the campus where I previously had served as president, Murray State, down in quiet little Murray, Kentucky, this fall had 4 sexual assaults reported in student dormitories. And again, I think in part we're seeing a greater attention focused on what's happening on campuses because of these heightened reporting requirements. Now, that's not to try to give an apology or to explain or excuse away the fact that we also have to do better work in this regard. But part of what's going on here, part of the context, is the fact that there is now very keen watch on every campus about these types of things when we're told about them, making sure reports get filed, have follow-up support available to students who are victims in these types of things. So that's part of what's going on, I sense. But back to the story, if you will, on Carbondale. We have had a spate of incidents here on the campus, and I had asked Chancellor Sarvel and his team just to go back one more time to see if there's more we need to be doing in a preventative fashion. And I'm very proud of the campus response when these things have taken place in terms of support to victims and convening the appropriate campus bodies, making sure they move quickly. Obviously, in appropriate cases, we'll do an interim suspension of students where there's probable cause to believe that they committed some campus crime. But that's still reaction. And the challenge I think we have is to ensure that on the preventative side, we're taking every approach possible to get these things stopped before they start. So many listeners know that I believe it was during the last academic term, the last school year, there was a campus violence and safety task force in effect. And I may not have exactly the right title, but there was a group that was put together to really look at these types of issues, I think, in advance of the federal changes that we knew were coming that I just referenced a few minutes ago. And that campus task force did good work, put some things in place, but obviously we've had what we've had this fall. So I asked the chancellor to really pull together the group one more time, his senior leadership, take a look at what we might be able to do to provide yet another punch to get some of this stopped before it starts. So toward that end, last week, and it really, to some degree, I don't want to say it got buried, but it maybe got lost a little bit in the governor's visit to campus and his announcement, as you'd indicated. But Dr. Sarvila did go forward with about 10 or 12 different changes that he was going to put in place as soon as possible that I do think are going to have a beneficial effect. So we're looking at how we can put more of our SIU police, our public safety people, on the street, on patrol, if you will. Our students who we use in the Saluki patrol, we want to look at how we're deploying them, making sure they're available at the right times for this preventative purpose. We've worked with housing. You know, some of the things that we've had as far as sexual assaults have taken place, a couple of these in our student residences. So we want to look at availability of RAs and residence hall directors, the people working at the desks, so that they're really on point, if you will, as that first set of eyes and ears as students are coming back. And then, of course, as you mentioned, Jennifer, thanks to some work with the governor's office, we're going to get $1.5 million from the Illinois Jobs Now program. We're adding another $500,000 of our own money to that to finish our campus lighting project, which we've had underway, but we just haven't had the ability to get it finished. So this will add 400 lights, LED, much broader in coverage and scope, by the way, at less cost. And we think with these pieces, that along with some other things that Paul had announced in terms of the culture of safety on the campus, I think these things are good moves. I would never, you know, go out and say, wow, this is going to get our problem solved, this is going to take care of it. About the time you say that, then you have something else happen. But the question is that I'm asking, and I think listeners ask, certainly our students, families, those who watch us here in the state and region would ask, is are we taking these appropriate, prudent measures, you know, just kind of carving off everywhere we can an opportunity to get better at this work? And I think given the resources we have and the things that were yet to be done, I do think we're making that progress. Will it solve every problem? No. And it's going to increase, our vigilance to still stay in that preventive mode. But I am going to say one more thing, and it's important. And, you know, we've had now a couple of incidents back in September, mid-September, I'll call it the riot on the Strip. That may be a little overstated. Then, of course, then a couple of weeks ago, a house party on Ash. At some point, you know, going to college for our young men and women is about taking on adult responsibility and looking at where you decide to go at 3 or 4 in the morning and what you do and how you spend your time and stopping and pausing to think, is this a good thing to tip over a car, right? And our young men and women have to grow into that adulthood. And trust me, I'm all for enjoying campus life. For me, I think that makes a campus. But there is a point where it goes from fun into stupidity. And it's a lot of that's our students' responsibility and those who come to visit Carbondale. You know, we saw at the house party on Ash a couple of weeks ago, we don't know percentages, but it appears that at least half of those attendees were not our students. They were in town and they were attending this party. So this is true, you know, for any, you know, 19, 20, 21-year-old. You've got to think too and do this type of thing responsibly. But all of us coming together, keeping this at the forefront, I think the actions that Chancellor Sarvila has announced along with the governor's money just keeps us, you know, pushing on this front so that we can be responsive to it.
It's certainly in your focus. Now, a couple of the incidents that happened early in the semester that were the subject of those timely warnings
Yes.
that go out to the campus community involved both students and non-students.
Yes.
What are your meetings like, or are you meeting, or is someone meeting with Carbondale city officials about how those things mix? SIU is not in a bubble.
Yes, and that's a very good point, Jennifer. I probably should have mentioned. And there is good ongoing communication. So particularly the two chiefs, Ben Newman for us here at SIUC, as well as Jeff Grubbs, interim chief in the city of Carbondale, are staying in good and close contact. In fact, I just had the chance to talk briefly with Chief Grubbs a few days ago, who happens to be a former student of mine, by the way, when I taught here, and a good relationship with him. So that conversation's taking place at that level. Both Paul and I have been talking to Kevin Beatty, the city manager. I do think that both Dr. Sarvel and I need to keep working as well to communicate with city council folks, because they're the ones ultimately who are going to have to deal with some ordinances. There are ways to approach this, and whether we're talking about how you deal with house parties, or of course here in Carbondale, for listeners outside of town, we've been reading about the panhandlers and some of the challenges on the Route 13 feeder into campus from the east. There are ways with ordinances, with enforcement, to deal with these problems. It doesn't solve it all with the wave of a wand, but to say, well, there's nothing we can do about this is not correct either. So I want to make sure that my contact and kind of interface with city council exists, because ultimately they're going to have to look at some of these things to figure out laws that go on the books to help all of us address this.
Certainly a work in progress. This is Morning Conversation on WSIU Radio. Our guest is SIU President Randy Dunn. Dr. Dunn, we always seem to come around to budget discussions.
Yes.
In these conversations, but it's important to note that the SIU Board of Trustees will adopt its budget at the meeting this week in Edwardsville. There is talk that there's this deficit hanging out there that SIU, particularly SIU Carbondale, is dealing with. How does this budget address that, and what can we expect over the next several months to make up that gap?
Well, I'll tell you, Jennifer, that I'm very happy to announce that we will pass, if our board so chooses, on Wednesday up at Edwardsville, a balanced budget. So we don't have the luxury of being able to do a deficit budget like the federal government does. We have to show a budget balanced, and we'll be able to do that. But what you're speaking to does imply a challenge that we have to getting to balance. For this year, we're okay. Now, you know that on the state side, we didn't take a severe hit for FY15. We lost something like 0.2% of our state support. Of course, we froze tuition. Fees grew a little bit. So we're fine holding our own for this year. Now, we do have some pieces hanging out there that we don't know about, but as we present the budget on Wednesday, it's balanced, and we have identified some areas within both operating and reserves that we can go to depending on how things play out. For instance, we're in the midst right now of contract negotiations with our big four unions on campus. Those remain in progress. We don't know where settlement will be, but it's likely that there will be something take place there that could incur additional costs. If so, then we've got to make sure that we can account for that within this year's budget, depending on what that settlement is and how it's defined. So we understand that we're kind of sitting that out there. You may remember, I think, something we talked about here, Jennifer, the fact that there's a decision that is going before the Illinois Education Labor Relations Board regarding furlough days taken back in 2011, or at least they were in that set of contract talks and went forward from there. We've had an administrative law judge say, no, that was inappropriate, and we're going to the full labor board, but if we're on the hook for those, that could cost anywhere from 1.9 beyond million to cover that. So we're setting aside in case that happens. Obviously, we're in the midst of great anticipation along with the rest of the state of Illinois, at least of those of us who are funded by taxpayer dollars, to see what happens on the extension of the temporary income tax. And if it turns out that that extension expires on December 31, then we are going to have to do some scrambling. Of course, at that point, we're already halfway through our fiscal year. We've moved along through these first 6 months with a budget anticipating that the increase would stay in effect. If that changes, then we'll have to go in and start flipping some levers that we've looked to try to identify, start flipping some levers to get savings in on this year's budget. So in one sense, it's always good to have your budget passed, adopted. At the same time, it may not give us great comfort this year simply because we have a lot of things that will be swirling out there that could cause us to have to go back and take a look at it again. Again, possibly going to reserves or trying to save some expenses in other areas, depend on how all these things unfold.
And that's coming up Wednesday when the board will discuss that and all of its other issues.
That's right. We have a work session. What we've started seeing happen with the board is that they've always done this. But even more so, I think, since I've become president and looked at how they want to structure their time trying to work with them, we're really using that first day of the 2 day board meetings, typically that first afternoon, in this case Tuesday, up at SIUE, for a work session. And those are public meetings, but it's a very different flow. We might have only 2, 3, 4, I think this time we have 5 topics, but it really allows the board not to be rushed through a large agenda, but to take larger items, weighty items, things that need presentation and discussion and deliberation, for them to be able to do that on Tuesday afternoon without kind of the pressure of the clock. So we are going to be talking about campus climate issues, some of the things we talked about at the top of the interview here on safety on campus. We are going to be talking about budget. As you indicated, we're going to be looking at enrollment and getting kind of the final report on that for fall. And that's good. Boards need time to fulfill their role, to deliberate and talk and do a deep dive on some of this. So we tend to use those Tuesday afternoons for that. We've got a pretty full agenda this time.
We have just about a minute or two remaining, but I wanted to talk to you about the importance that the school sees in rankings. It's
yes.
coming on rankings season.
Yes, it
We've
is.
Already seen some reports. College of Business got a good
yes.
report here at Carbondale. How important are those rankings to the administration?
Well, you know, if you talk to higher ed folks around the country, at least those in administration, they tend to kind of poo-poo those a little bit, unless you're ranked well, and then you kind of tout that. The largest selling issue of U.S. News and World Report is the one that lists the college rankings. So to say we just discount it or soft sell it and indicate it's not important, I don't think we can do that because they are looked at. You do have to understand the formula, the algorithm that goes into that calculation. And I won't take time now. We don't have it. But you and I could agree with it, or we might not agree with it. But it's a set of assumptions about what makes for a good college. And you can talk to 10 people in this business and get 10 different lists of what those things are. So you have to keep that in mind. But I do think it gives some relative sense. You know, every year there's this big competition for the national research universities among Harvard, Yale, and Princeton. Who's going to be number one? And it's really meaningless. There's no way to gradate, I don't think, you know. But it does give you a sense of within the sectors. For SIUC, a national research university, for SIUE, a master's comprehensive. It does give you a sense in those sectors as to kind of the big blocks of where schools are. And, you know, when you have, I think, particularly these program rankings. So, as you indicated, the College of Business here at SIU Carbondale, the Princeton Review does this ranking. And we were in, I think, the top 60 or so out of a close to 300 ranked. That's a pretty big deal. When you have something of that level, it's, you know, I think that should get people's notice and be a point of pride for the university.
And we'll certainly be watching those rankings as they come out through the year. President Dunn, thanks for coming in this morning.
Thanks, Jennifer.